please quiet your cell phones and all electronic devices. Let's prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to Diane's prelude. Say amen. Awesome. Thank you, Diane. Welcome to First Christian Church this morning, and welcome to March. It has come blowing in. I think we can almost smell spring in the air, and maybe if the air wasn't moving so fast, we could get it. My chickens are happy again that it's warmer out. The backyard has been snowed in for about 2 weeks, and their favorite hangout is under the lilac bushes, but it's been covered with snow. So that finally cleared up, but there's always a drift about 10 feet in front of it, and they don't like the deep snow, so they can't get to it. So I go out there when it snows, and I shovel a path for the chickens. And I can't believe I do anything that ridiculous, but I shovel snow for chickens now. So I want to thank everyone who asks about Dave and remembers him in their prayers. He is still recuperating. His health is good, but he is in speech therapy yet for the cognitive issues caused by the head injury, and he's still dealing with the dizziness. They just cannot get a handle on what it is. So I still think it will resolve in time, but it's just going to take longer than what we thought. So please sign the friendship pads that you'll find in every pew along the center. Pass that down. Everybody sign it. When it returns, take a look at who's there. If it's somebody new, be sure to introduce yourself and say hello. And if it's people you know, you should especially say hello to them. Don't forget that next Sunday, time changes. We will be springing forward, so you don't want to miss church because you're still home in your pajamas. And Tuesday, March 7th, is the preschool fundraiser at Frontier Middle School. Tickets are $6 for adults and children are $3. There are a number of silent auctions on the tables downstairs in the preschool hallway. So you can go down there and take a look and put in a bid. There are several items donated by Josh Woods, Lonnie McBee, and Jane Wallace. So you can be assured we've got some good things down there. Every Wednesday now through Lent, we have Vesper services downstairs, or up in the inner room, at 6 o'clock, followed by a soup supper at 6:30. And we have our best cooks on the soup supper. So please be sure that you come to that. Property Commission is hosting the Hot Diggity Dog Bingo Party after church next week. You can bring a special hot dog dish, sausage dish, or a brat dish to share. I don't eat hot dogs, so I would appreciate the brat and sausage dishes a lot more. But if you don't have anything like that, then feel free to bring a side dish or a dessert. And then bingo and good times will follow the lunch. The proceeds will go towards replacing the missing bulbs that you see up here with the LED bulbs and reconfiguring the fixtures to accommodate the new bulbs. So I know we have one other announcement, Tom.
Well, yesterday I went to Jason's Bowlingdale. I bowled with some of our youth here in bowling last night. It was really fun bowling with Sarah Willing, Olivia, and I can't think of that girl's name. And I just put myself back in the PBA. And on July 21st, I'm going back home, back to Seattle, trying to do it. And Dave, what happened Wednesday? I can't remember. Okay, it'll be my 2300 game. So, and I got the master, and I got the Masters this week, next week, so maybe that could be the push over what I need. Okay, thanks a lot.
Do we have any other announcements? Yes, Paul. So please look through your bulletin for any additional announcements. Our opening hymn is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God on page 65, and we'll sing that right after we stand and greet one another. Having a time. Yep, doing okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. It always makes me a little tense. Yeah. Okay. I know. I would agree. Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin and on the board. Holy God, we confess that we have betrayed you by our sins.
By what we have done and by what we have left undone.
On our Lenten journeys, O Christ, forgive us again.
Walk beside us as we walk toward your cross.
Please join me in prayer. God of love and mercy, you are our hiding place and our refuge in the time of distress. Great and amazing are your deeds, and just and true are all your ways. You alone are holy, and all your judgments are good. We turn to you now, seeking comfort from the wounds of the world and power to face all our afflictions. Be present in our struggle and help us to rest in your eternal promises, that we might be fed both with the bread of the world and the nourishment of your word, strong to resist temptation and faithful in our worship of you. We ask all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Seated. If you would, please take out the purple chalice praise songbook and turn to page number 49. As a call to prayer, we will sing together Sanctuary 2 times through. Our young children are excused to go to Worship and Wonder and the Young Disciples class. They can follow Mrs. Grooms out of the sanctuary and have a special time prepared just for them. The prayer concerns of the congregation are listed on the back of your bulletin. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service, and we'll be sure that it's delivered to them. Our card shower this morning is for Dean Phelps. He is winding up his time as our interim regional minister for the Central Rocky Mountain region. He has faithfully led for over 2 years now the disciple churches in Wyoming, Utah, southeastern Idaho, Colorado, and northern New Mexico. Dean leaves us to work in Kentucky. At the same time, in April, the Reverend Joan Bell Haynes will come and begin her tenure as our new executive regional minister. If you were blessed by Dean during one of his several visits here to Casper, or even if you simply want to give thanks for his leadership, I encourage you to write a card. We'll be sending those to South Broadway Christian Church in Denver, where they will be hosting a farewell reception for Dean next Saturday at 3 in the afternoon. If any of you happen to be in Denver, you are welcome to stop by for that event. We continue to pray for many people who are living with cancer and treatment for cancer, including Matthew Trott, Mark Steinley, who is home here in Casper, but has made a trip to Denver to meet again with his oncologist. His numbers indicate that there may be a return of the cancer, so prayers for him. Travis Hytrek is in our prayers as well. His mom, Nina, was at chapel today. They're home from Denver, where he's been at University Hospital, fighting an infection, as well as living with liver cancer and seeking treatment for that. Thank you, Becky, for the update on Dave. We continue to pray for him and for you in this extended recovery. Your prayers are coveted for Gaylene Barnes as she continues to struggle with recovery from multiple back surgeries. She'll have to return to Utah for a follow-up with a physician. Thanks to those in the congregation who are providing support in different ways for Gaylene. Stan McIrvin's knee surgery has been rescheduled for March 20th, providing that the infection is fully gone from his body by that time. He continues to receive infusions every morning of the week. Monica Decker will be going to Denver this week to see an MS specialist. Prayers for her. We don't know if there'll be a change in medication, but she has been struggling some. Chuck McBee will have hernia surgery on Wednesday. Prayers for him. Chuck Stewart will have a heart procedure on Tuesday, and we pray that that goes well. Lee Earle, our bookkeeper, will have knee surgery this Thursday, March 9th. Following that, she'll be out of the office for a week or two of recovery. She's already worked in advance with our stewardship commission, so things are ready to be covered while she's away. An update on a couple of our senior members. I talked with Roger Miller this week. He's living at a care facility in Montana. He still very much misses his friends in Wyoming and all of his church family here at First Christian Casper, and he sends you his greetings. He lives very close to his daughter, and so that's a blessing for her, I know, to have Dad nearby, but Roger misses Wyoming. Prayers of sympathy to the family of Bill Ristler. We received word that he passed away yesterday morning. Prayers of comfort for his family. The missionary we're lifting up today is Jeanette Saley, who serves in Nicaragua. And the prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary this morning is for the members of the Christian Church in the capital area and their regional minister, Reverend Alan Harris. A sign of what a small family the Disciples of Christ are. My older sister went to church camp with Alan years ago in New Mexico. I think if you know one disciple, you know many disciples. Some additions to the prayer list that aren't listed in the bulletin. Kent Nyber, a former youth pastor from the Baptist church in town, is living with leukemia. He's at University Hospital down in Denver. Prayers for him. Carol Sage's son-in-law will have back surgery tomorrow, and she asks for prayers. Dewey Smith's sister-in-law, Cheryl, will have a heart procedure on Tuesday. And Lonnie McBee's grandson, Christian, has had difficulty eating for several weeks now. He's not able to keep any food down. They've had multiple tests to see what's going on. He's lost 22 pounds. They finally found some medication that's helping him keep food down, but they're still waiting for an answer. So prayers for Christian. It's a long list this morning, but there may be others. Are there joys or other concerns we want to lift up today? Kristen. It was a joy to know that Kristen was representing us at the state legislature, and she was there when the bill was signed to provide presumptive disability care for firefighters, especially those diagnosed with cancer, during their service. Thank you, Kristen, for your advocacy for this important legislation. We rejoice that it has passed. Jackie. Thank you. Madison.
A joy to share is that I've been saving money for a little over 6 months now, and it just became official this last Friday that I'm going to Germany for 2 weeks this summer for Yay. German classes, so I'm very excited.
What a great adventure. We're excited for Madison that she'll be spending 2 weeks in Germany this summer. Such a great way to study a language by being immersed in the culture where it is natively spoken. We pray for safe travels for you and blessings on that great trip. Raul. Prayers for Raul's brother. We pray that indeed he'll be able to turn his life around, that this will be a wake-up call, and he'll head on the right path. We join with you in offering your love and support to him in a trying time. Let us turn now to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O God of journey, you are for people of faith the beginning and the end, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Lord Christ, during this Lenten season, through reflection and prayer, we seek to journey closer to your cross as we reflect on the sacrifice you made for us. And in so doing, we are mindful of our own sins, those ways in which we may betray you, whether great or small, and we ask for your forgiveness. O healing God of hope and help, we lift to you our prayers for all that we have named today. We ask for healing and strength and courage for those living with cancer and their families. We pray for Matt, Mark, Travis, and Kent. We thank you, God, for recent legislation passed in Wyoming that will provide support to the families of firefighters diagnosed with illness related to their work. Holy One, for those who are facing surgery or recovering from surgery, facing medical procedures and needing healing, we pray for your grace. We remember Dave, Gaylene, Stan, Monica, Chuck, Lee, Christian, Carol's son-in-law, Dewey's sister-in-law, and others. Oh Lord, for some, the journey in this life is hard, perhaps in ways we cannot even imagine. For some of us and for some of those we love, at times life's path takes a wrong turn. We turn away from you. We cause heartbreak. We sin. Oh God, we pray for all who need to find their way back to you, to walk on the path of light and love. We join with Raul in praying for his brother. In a time when life needs to be turned around, God, we pray that you will give him courage to make wise choices. We pray that he will find strength and support. We pray that he will find you. Lord, we lift to you prayers for the elderly, for those who long to be in worship with us and are not able. We remember Roger during his life in Montana and pray for comfort and friends to surround him there, just as friends here continue to remember him. Holy God, we pray for your comfort to be with the family of Bill Risler. We thank you that the suffering of this life for Bill has ended and he is at peace with you. God, we give thanks for all the opportunities we have in this world to learn of your wonders, to share and explore different cultures, to bear witness to you. We pray for Madison when she travels to Germany this summer. We ask that this will be a tremendous learning experience in her life. We give thanks for Jeanette Saley and the work she does as a missionary in Nicaragua, for Alan Harris and his ministry alongside disciples in the capital area. And we pray for Dean as he concludes his service as interim regional minister in the Central Rockies. Oh, gracious God, there are so many prayers that we have in our lives. Those that we speak aloud to you here in community, and those that we hold in silence in our hearts. Holy One, look upon your people as we pray. Hear the needs of our lives and the needs of the world. Give us courage to join with you in being part of the answer to so many prayers. May we live with faith as we walk the way of Christ. Amen. Every Sunday as we gather at the Lord's table, all who believe in Christ are invited to share in the bread and the cup as they are passed. We remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he spoke to them of a new meaning for the meal they were sharing. He spoke of how the bread would represent and indeed become his own body. On the night before he was arrested and then crucified, Jesus looked at his closest friends, even then knowing that one of them would betray him. One who took the bread would later betray his master with a kiss. Perhaps that in itself is a sign of hope for us. For yet while we were sinners, Jesus died on the cross. We come to this meal not because we are perfect, but because we are forgiven. Even when we have sinned, Jesus invites us to come to take the bread and the cup and be forgiven. May we prepare for the Lord's Supper by singing together number 385, verses 1, 2, and 4, An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare. Thank you. As we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded again of that night when Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his friends, even the one who betrayed him, saying, "This bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Dear God, today we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember the extraordinary sacrifice you made in sending Jesus, your beloved Son, to be with us. We thank you for this legacy in words, action, and obedience to suffering on the cross. Lord, we come to you now to ask for forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or deeds that have not honored your name. We also are truly sorry for the times we have chosen to live selfishly rather than heed your calling. We invite you to inhabit our hearts now as we take communion. As we share this meal, come bind us together as one family filled with your love. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that is at our work in our lives. Amen.
Two ministers were waiting in line for seating at a restaurant. Now, this restaurant was very popular, and it was also very small, so it was crowded and the line was long. But the ministers who frequently preached on patience were offering a visible sermon by their calm demeanor. But it wasn't helping the line that the people who were already seated were taking their time, eating slowly, lingering over their coffee, and everyone was antsy. Well, the ministers were next in line when the door opened and in came a party of six. And as luck would have it, the next table to be available was one that could seat the two ministers, or it could also seat the party of six. So if it were you, what would you do? Would you sit down because the table was available? After all, you were there first, and it's your turn. Or might the Jesus thing to do be to step aside and let the larger party have the larger table and wait for the next available spot? Well, that's what the ministers did. Being true to their convictions, they gladly let the table of six have the table, and they continued to wait patiently. In good time, they were able to sit down and order breakfast, and then they took their own sweet time to eat that. But when they were done, no bill came, because the people that they let go before them paid the bill for them. Now, Jesus does not call us to be kind to others because there might be a free meal out of it. It's because it's just the right thing to do. Sometimes there's a reward, sometimes there isn't. God gave everything he had for us, and he gives us blessings every day. Every day there are acts of kindness. Every day we receive blessings. Few of us need to worry about whether we can afford to eat our next meal. There are many reasons for us to pick up the tab for all the blessings God sends our way. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Ever faithful God, we long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves on you who have given everything to us. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we can ask or even imagine, grace these gifts for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 14, verses 43 through 46, found on page 52 in your pew Bible. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Judas, Jesus said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 66 to 71. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that powerful, haunting piece about Calvary. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are journeying with you towards the cross. Open our hearts, our eyes, our minds, our souls, that on this journey we may encounter you. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they might bring pleasure and glory to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. On the Sunday mornings leading up to Easter, we will be reflecting together on the stations of the cross. In different Christian traditions, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, praying the stations of the cross is a means of reflecting on the journey that Jesus took from his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested, until his death on the cross and burial in the tomb. Last Sunday, we were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus when his disciples fell asleep. He had asked them to stay awake and watch as he prayed, and they couldn't do it. This morning, we are in that same garden. In Mark 14, the third time after the disciples have fallen asleep, Jesus goes to them and says, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And at that moment, Judas shows up with a crowd, a mob. They put Jesus under arrest and haul him away. And Mark tells us in verse 50, all of them deserted him and fled. If Mark 14 and 15 were to be read as a murder mystery, then these verses tell us perhaps the death of Jesus was because of an inside job. Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus, but he's not the only one who gets blame. The rest of the disciples didn't do much better. They fell asleep and they ran away. The second station of the cross on our journey tells the story of betrayal. It is perhaps one of the most painful passages in all of Scripture for us to read. Someone who was one of the closest friends of Jesus, who traveled with him, who saw the miracles that he performed, Judas, his friend, betrayed him. In this story, are we at times like Judas? Are we like John and the others who fell asleep? Are we afraid of the cost of faith and we run away? Or in some way, are we like Jesus himself? If you have ever found yourself feeling betrayed, knowing what it's like to have a close friend turn their back on you, then this story offers the reassurance that Jesus knows what that is like too. Perhaps the betrayal you experienced wasn't as publicly visible as a kiss in a garden. But no doubt if you have been betrayed, it cut to the quick of your soul. Perhaps this Lenten season, what you need most is healing from the betrayal of another and reaching the point where you can forgive. Perhaps where we find ourselves in this story, though, is not with Jesus, but with the disciples. Our sin, in effect, is a betrayal of God. Anytime we turn our back on God's grace, anytime we turn away from the Lord, we're right there in that garden again with Judas betraying him. It may be that we commit, in theological language, sins of commission or sins of omission. It may be that there are times when we actually commit a sin, when we do something that we know is wrong. We break the Ten Commandments. Perhaps not the biggies, murdering someone, stealing, but perhaps we're guilty of being envious, failing to honor our mother and father, failing to honor God above all others. Sins of commission are those things that we do when we know they're wrong. But an equal betrayal comes from the sin of omission, failing to do what is right, being like the disciples, either falling asleep on the job or running away to save our own skin. That too is a form of betrayal. It is hard to hear these stories of the stations of the cross, to remember the suffering and struggle that Jesus went through, and to find ourselves on that same journey. Judas greeted Jesus with a kiss. To us, it may seem a strange greeting, and yet in that context, it was perfectly normal and natural. In some cultures, greeting one another with a kiss is as common as a handshake. Even today, if you travel in Italy, there are communities where you'll see grown men saying hello, greeting one another with a kiss on the cheek, a way of acknowledging friendship or shared work. I'm quite certain that this was not the first time Judas had greeted Jesus with a kiss. It was a sign of affection between friends, and it was a greeting for one, Judas, who called the other Jesus rabbi, teacher, master. But somehow this kiss was different than all those that had gone before. For this kiss was a sign, a signal to an angry mob that Jesus was the one to be arrested. We're told in previous verses that Judas had met with the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. They were wanting to do away with that rabble-rousing rabbi Jesus, but they weren't sure how. You see, he was gaining popularity. The crowds were around him all the time. When he would teach in the temple, people were there. It's telling that the authorities could have arrested Jesus any time he was there in Jerusalem, all week here, folks. And yet, the arrest came under the cover of darkness in the secret of night, hidden away from public scrutiny, when someone might stand up and protest and say, "This is wrong." So the story reveals to us that Jesus' journey on the cross, this murder mystery, if you will, was not just due to an inside job of betrayal by close friends. It was also collusion of religious authorities and the empire working together. Judas had attended a secret meeting where he agreed to betray his master and friend for the price of 30 pieces of silver. The signal was arranged. The one that I kiss, that's who you arrest. Perhaps it was a matter of practicality. In the darkness of the garden, you wouldn't want a group of soldiers to arrest the wrong Nazarene, some other guy from Galilee. That would be a horrible flub. You have to make sure in the darkness you get the right person to throw behind bars. So it is that Judas kissed Jesus. Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. It's interesting to read that he was led away under guard. There were soldiers there, but the religious authority did not actually have the right to dictate what military troops would do. So there is a hint in Mark's telling that there was collusion between the church and the empire, the powers that be. And reading behind the lines in the Greek, it is interesting to ponder what sort of mob this was. Different commentators disagree based on the words in Greek whether it was an organized unit of soldiers or just a crowd of rabble-rousers. Perhaps it was both. They were sent on a mission to arrest Jesus, and on their way, those torchlights attracted attention. And others came out to join what could be an exciting parade. What's happening? What are the police up to? Yesterday, Charles and I were driving across town, and we tried to turn out of Perkins late in the afternoon. There seemed to be more traffic than usual going in and out of Sam's Club and Walmart. It took forever to head towards town on 2nd Street. By the time we got to Wyoming Boulevard, we realized why. There were police cars that had blocked off the street all the way to the interstate. I haven't checked the paper to see if there was an accident, what had happened, but it was fascinating to watch the cars ahead of us. When the light turned green, instead of going through the intersection, the drivers would pause and look at the police. Curious, what's happening? Perhaps the same thing happened that night when Jesus was arrested. There were some rubberneckers in Jerusalem who wondered, what's all the excitement and the commotion? Let's go see. So perhaps that crowd grew and swelled by the time they got to the garden. And there was a mob mentality, enraged, ready to join in violence against anyone you could get away with it. So Jesus was betrayed by a kiss and arrested. He was then condemned by the Sanhedrin. We're told in Luke just a small portion of the conversation that happened between the Christ and the crown, the authority. Are you the Son of God? It was a charge of blasphemy, saying that he was divine. For you see, in that day, in that cultural context, the emperor, Caesar, was considered a god. And so for anyone else to be a god or the son of a god, they were challenging the Roman authority. For the Pharisees, there was this theological conflict. How could a carpenter from Nazareth be the Messiah, the Son of God? So the charge was raised against him. If you are the Messiah, tell us. But Jesus knew if he spoke the truth, they would not believe. He said, even if I ask you questions, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. At his time of trial, he could already see what was yet to come, the crucifixion on the cross, and beyond that, eternity in heaven. As much as this story of the stations of the cross reads like a murder mystery, with an inside job falling on the shoulders of Judas and the apostles, with the intrigue of the empire and the church in collusion, as much as we might point fingers to those who contributed to Jesus' death on the cross, ultimately, his life was not taken from him. Rather, he gave it. Jesus went to the cross willingly, with heartbreak and forgiving love for all of humanity. Ultimately, who was to blame for Jesus hanging on the cross? Judas for betraying him, the crowd for arresting him, the Sanhedrin for condemning him, or God for loving the world so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever among us would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life? Whose fault was it that Jesus ended up on the cross? It was the fault of all of those, including ourselves, who are betrayers, who are sinners. And it was the fault of love, of God's willingness to pay the ultimate price to save his children. And so as we journey to the cross, we know the sorrow of the suffering servant in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed and his friends slept. We know the betrayal of sin, turning its back on God's own Son. We know the condemnation of those in authority saying, "If you are the Son of God," and hearing Christ only answer, "You say I am." It is a heartbreaking journey, but what glory awaits us at the end, at Easter. That's more of the story yet to come. May we continue the journey. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 88. All my hope on God is founded. There may be someone in our midst this morning who is looking for a church home. Perhaps you visited here at First Christian for a while, and you've decided this is the place where you belong, and you want to journey in faith. There may be someone in our midst who's never given your heart to God, and you are ready to take the step to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If that is the case, if that's where you are on your journey, we invite you to come forward this morning as we stand and sing together. Thank you. would remind you of the Lenten service Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. This week we will meet Andrew and hear his story of being called by Jesus to fish for people. There are refreshments downstairs. A time of fellowship is waiting for us, coffee and food. I hope that you will stay and visit with one another. While you're there, there's another coloring poster for next week's Stations of the Cross. You're welcome to spend a little time in meditation. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we confess to you that through our sin, we too have betrayed you. Forgive us. Help us to love you anew and to live lives worthy of being called Christian as we bear your name, O Christ. And now, O God, bless your people with your presence and your peace as we go forth to love and to serve. Amen.